All right, we are back with another episode of Autastic, the Comedian's Guide to Autism.
Yes.
I am one of your hosts, Graham Kay, and over there we have...
Kirk Smith. It's good to be here, man.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to be here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it good to be in your own home?
It's good to be back off the road recording a podcast. We've had a lot of great messages, and it's always nice to, to reach out.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really nice messages from you guys this week. A lot of good reviews and good positive feedback from episodes 38 and 39. 37 and 38 and 39.
Yeah.
Especially 37, 38. People really liked those two. Anyway, we're really proud of how everything is going. And thank you so much for letting us know that it is helping people out there. Kirk, you were on the road doing some comedy.
Yeah, I was in Beaumont, California.
Where the heck is that?
Not Beaumont, Louisiana. Beaumont, California. It's middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then I was in Scottsdale, Arizona, in the middle of the desert.
Cool.
Yeah, and doing
cool
some
drive?
Jokes. Yeah, it was a you know, the desert makes you think. And
I picture you driving in the desert with no music, no radio, just staring forward, thinking about
the middle distance.
Just thinking about your
something
problems.
Something inside of me died a long time ago.
I think I had known Kirk for maybe a week, 2 weeks.
That's true.
Kirk,
I forgot about
Kirk was helping me trying to find a car.
The silver bullet.
Yeah. And, we became quick friends. And you and another friend, mutual friend, Eddie Del Seppi, we were in a car. And we were driving back from looking at this car. And there's a lull in the conversation. Kirk has a son with autism and another 18-year-old daughter who's getting ready to figure out her life and everything, go to college and whatnot. And Kirk's just staring out the window. There's no talking. And out of the blue goes, you know what? And he's staring into the sun. He goes, you know what? I think something died in me a long time ago. We're like, what?
That's not how I remember it exactly.
We're like, what?
That's not exactly how I remember it. We were talking about something, yeah.
I just picture your 7-hour drive in the desert just like, yep, life's a can of crap, ain't it?
Oh, it was a good drive.
Yeah, man, great drive.
Great drive. It's desolate deserts like my heart, soul.
Well, I'm glad comedy's going well for you.
Oh, it's funny.
Taking you to Beaumont.
Yeah.
How are the shows? Are they good shows?
Shows are actually really good. Yeah, I had a good week. I probably had quite a few shows this week. I think I had nine shows,
that's
maybe.
That's great.
Did Shaky, did Ha.
Kirk's a very funny funny guy. If you have a function revolving around autism in any way or people with developmental disabilities, why not hire Kirk? He's a very funny guy, works clean, people like him, and he has about an hour on the subject.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
An hour of really funny personal stuff.
Just like I thought I would when I got into comedy. Write an hour on autism.
Well, it's about life, and you know what? It's relatable, even if you're not in autism, in the autism world. So, moving on. This is the podcast about autism. As I already said, Kirk has an autistic son. I have an autistic brother. We are both comedians, and we're trying to figure out this whole autism thing. And this is episode 40. We've learned a lot. Met a lot of interesting people, interviewed a lot of interesting people. We usually start off the podcast with a week in review. We've already done a little bit of that with talking about your shows and stuff and your terrifying drives. but you have something's new with your son.
Yeah, my son is 17 now. He'll be 18 in a few months.
Wow.
And this year, for the first year, he's doing a woodworking class. Which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he really likes...
He lives in Sweden with his mom.
Yes.
And they have more programs out there. And what kind of class is he in? Is he sort of mixed with neuronormative children?
We've tried different things. He was mainstreamed one time. We've tried a bunch of different things. Right now, He's in a high school that he can be in for the next 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically six kids. There might be one girl, but the rest are boys,
mm-hmm.
And then there's an aide for each of them, so they're all on the spectrum. And
is that girl safe?
Yeah, she's definitely safe. Okay. Yes, she's definitely safe. There's
a bunch of teens, a bunch of teen boys.
She's probably getting
an
eye
full. If you have a teenager out there, or you are a teenager with autism listening to this, you know that it doesn't matter if you have autism. You're still a boy.
Yeah.
You're still a huge creep.
She's probably getting a lot of attention. Guess who's going to be the homecoming queen this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her.
Well, it's in Sweden, so she's the homecoming lordess.
They have a Santa Lucia festival. It's like St. Lucia, and she's a... she guides in boats from the harbor or something like that. I'm not kidding. It's something like that. I could look it up.
That was a genuine... I've never laughed at that octave in my life.
It's something like that. Like, she... with a something about she's at the lighthouse or something. I can't remember.
Boy, is that amazingly Swedish.
Yeah. So they have a... their version of a beauty contest. Yeah.
That's great.
Which is Sweden.
They just judge boats.
Some beautiful people.
It's a beautiful, beautiful barge.
So he's a woodworking class, and they're making birdhouses right now. Really likes to screw in the screws. They're using screws instead of nails, and he really enjoys it. And so then some of the kids don't like it, and so it's
probably hard on the little wrists, and he's the strongest guy there. He's a big dude, isn't he?
He's a big boy. He's the heavy. He is the heavy.
Call him in.
Call in Huggy Bear.
That's awesome. So, I mean, look, we always talk about how, you know, it's going to be hard for your son to find a job and be, you know, quote unquote, a productive member of society and everything like that. And yes, it will be. But this is something that he's doing that he enjoys.
It's encouraging. He enjoys it. Yeah.
And he can follow it.
And one of the other things he likes is we always had a lot of basketball in my house. That was kind of my sport I was really into.
Yeah.
And, so we had a lot of basketballs around the house, and so he's taken to in gym class, pumping up. He found a pump and a needle, and
that's very industrious of himself,
pumping up the basketballs.
Yeah, good for him.
So he's assigned.
But I bet you they're all really over pumped,
really over aired.
They're really bouncy.
It's really bouncy balls. Yeah.
But these are things that, like, again, these are repetitive things that he enjoys, that he understands, that he can. He probably gets a sense of purpose from. He keeps doing it for a reason. He probably likes it. Why would he like it? Because he feels like he accomplishes something. He has a sense of purpose.
I think
he understands
measurable. Yeah, he understands what's happening.
Measurable.
Yeah. These balls are flat, and then I put air in them. I wonder if they go in at night and let the air out of the balls just to make sure he has something to do.
That'd be nice.
Could be good. Otherwise, they're going to pop eventually.
Yeah, they're going to pop. Yeah, you can't.
Can't pump them up every day.
My basketball needs some air, so I'll send it to Sweden.
You should mail it over.
Yeah.
It's good use of time and space.
What was I going to say? So this is sort of an idea of how this is a repetitive task that maybe one day could be transferable over to, let's say, off the top of my head, a recycling plant where he just stands on a line and sort of like picks out the plastic bottles or something that. You know what I mean?
Or building furniture. I think
or
he would
enjoy...
building
furniture, something less dangerous.
I was reminding his mom when he was little, and we were putting together these IKEA shelves, like soft pine, where you like put this like 4-inch screws in and, you know, grinds them into the thing. That he really liked that. We put together like eight or nine big shelves, bookshelves, and he really liked doing it. You know, with a little Allen wrench, you know, IKEA stuff for whatever reason. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. I get it. You know, when you screw something into a screw into a piece of wood, and the wood kind of sinks and cracks a bit. You can feel it. Ooh, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
I love that.
Soft pine.
Ooh. Ooh, I just got a little
excited
goosebumps. Anyway. Oh, what I wanted to say is you are a basketball junkie.
Yes.
And not to pump your tires. But guys,
put my balls up. Go ahead.
Kirk and I play basketball, and this week Kirk was on fire.
I played well this week. I had a good game.
We're all between the ages of 20, and I might be one of the older ones.
I'm the oldest by far.
But Kirk is like double the age, like literally double the age of some of these people, and he's just bodying. He's just old man strength, bullying these kids, these millennials, throwing them around,
toughing these kids up.
And he's just hitting jumpers after jumper. He was driving by people half his age. This one kid gets a cramp.
Oh yeah, this kid.
He gets a cramp
on a fast break.
No, he gets a cramp. The ball goes down to the other end. Kirk gets the rebound, throws it towards the hoop on the other end where the kid still
should
is.
Should be.
And the kid doesn't move and the ball just goes out of bounds. Kirk just yells at him, "Go to the hole." It means like run to the basket. "Go to the hole." And the kid's like, "I have a cramp."
Like, "I have a cramp, sir."
And Kirk, we all just start laughing at Kirk. Because his dad, his inner dad just came out.
The dad came out. Kirk could have been my son.
Kirk just goes, "I'm sorry I yelled at you." "Sorry I yelled at you."
I did feel bad.
It was so funny. Anyway, what I want to say is Kirk needs, like, if you have an autistic son or daughter or whatever. And
I thought you were just, if you have an autistic and no designator, but go ahead.
Listen, I will say this about all, like, how to say a person with autism, autistic person, all that. We've had more than one autistic person with autism, write in and say, "I just say autistic," and I like it.
We've had a few people say, "I just say autastic."
Yeah. Anyway, so if you are dealing with someone who's autistic and, you know, can be stressful, definitely exercise. You got to exercise. I think Kirk would be dead if it weren't for basketball.
My heart would have exploded.
Kirk comes to the basketball court and for 2 hours every week.
Every
bullies
week.
These millennials.
A few times a week.
And loves it.
I'm toughing them up. I'm helping them adjust to the real world.
Boy, oh boy, do you ever. Anyway.
Most of these kids don't have fathers. It's good for them.
Yeah.
I think I'm justifying my violence.
No. You can really tell that you need it. And you feel better after.
I feel much better.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to news. In the news is we should do this more often. I like what we're about to do here.
This is good.
We're going to do a movie review.
Yeah, it's like Siskel and Ebert. I'm a fat guy.
Film review. Yeah. Am I the fatter one out of the two? We're both.
I think you're taller.
We're both in great shape. We're both Adonises. Anyway.
I come to these podcasts just to get pumped up, and I need it. I got to be honest.
So
without it, I'm very depressed.
This is a film which that was on PBS. It did some film festivals, and you can find it now on Netflix. It's a film by Matt Fuller. It is called Autism in Love, and it explores a topic that we've talked about quite a bit in this podcast: dating, finding love, loneliness, everything like that. Matt Fuller, he is a well-accomplished director. He has films like Vacancy, Prom Night, The Stepfather. He also had a big part in creating the film Limitless, which is also a TV show now.
Yeah, I like that show.
Yeah, you like that show?
Not the show, the movie.
The movie.
Yeah, Brad Cooper.
You're one of these people who calls movies shows.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that comes up to after me, after stand-up, people come up to me and go, "I liked your show." No, "I liked your skit."
Yeah, your skit. Oh, jeez. Anyway, so this guy's really well accomplished, and he does not live with autism in his immediate family, or he just was interested in the idea of love with autism, how relationships have not been explored with, you know, these people.
Yeah.
So what he did is he interviewed, the film follows five people, but
two and a half couples.
Yeah. Two and a half couples. So three groups of people, basically, he follows. One guy.
I'll pick up from here.
Yeah, so you pick it up.
One couple. One young guy is named Lenny. He's unemployed. And he lives with his mom. So he's on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other couple is Stephen Goodman, who lives in St. Paul, and he's like a dead ringer for Rain Man. Like, he does a staccato voice.
Yeah.
He has a great memory. He answers all these questions on Jeopardy right.
Yeah.
He even looks a little bit like him. You know, he's Goodman. I assume he's Jewish. He looks a little bit like Dustin Hoffman, to be honest.
He's Jewish.
And And he marries a girl named Gita. And then the other couple is Lindsay and David, who are a couple, and they're both autistic as well. And I should have mentioned Gita is also autistic, I believe, or she says she has a learning disability. It's not clear. But the last couple, Lindsay and David, are, and they're the ones that have been dating for like 8 years, I think, right? They've been dating a while.
Yeah.
I really like David because he tries to quantify love as particles. What does he say? Like,
he's very scientific.
He's a scientist, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so he has this like, he has a breakdown of marriage should be, what does he say? It's like, it's 40% emotional, but it's 60% practical. Like, everything is statistics, and I love it.
Yeah.
And he's not trying to be funny. He's like, that's how he's thinking about it. And he tries to.
He's like, I like how at one part he's like, you know, in this equation, it's how they treat you is more important than the other two factors. For example, attractiveness. Right. And if they're relatively ugly.
But it can be overcome if they're really nice to you.
Yeah, and just the very matter of fact, if she's ugly, and that made me laugh. But anyway, that guy's the best. I like this. There's this one scene where they, the couple, she's like, well, he's more scientific than me, and she's playing the piano, and like really into the, like she's really affected by me. She can play, first of all. She's playing some sort of classical piece, and she's very good at it. But the music is really flowing through her, and she's really affected by it, and like swooning.
Emotionally,
and it's kind of nice to see. And then the camera pans over to him in the dining room on the computer, just looking at weather charts on his computer, like radar charts. Like,
I like the scene where she goes, I wear this necklace because it helps distract people from who I am. Like, it's like a super deep thought. And he's like, huh, what is the temperature today? He like turns straight to the television. Yeah. Oh no, he goes, oh, I've never heard you say that before. Interesting. Anyway, what is the weather today? Oh, it's so funny. I love it.
Yeah.
But what it says to me too is that that romance is hard, man. It's like, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but Gita's really sick, and so I don't want to give away.
So there's another couple. There's another couple with I hate to call him the Rain Man character, but what's his name?
Stephen Goodman.
Stephen Goodman, and he lives in St. Paul,
Missouri. Minnesota, he has a job, yeah?
Minnesota. And he has a job. He works for the postal office. And he has a wife who is...
She has some sort of learning disability.
Learning disability, and she's dying of cancer. So those are the three different groups that this film follows. What are your initial impressions? What did you like or not like? Did you like the film, first of all? Let's put it out there.
So
if you haven't seen it, do you recommend it?
I don't want to give away what happens to Gita, but I do recommend it. But yeah, she's sick. And the part I liked about it is I think we have this, we're enamored with this idea in Hollywood movies of everything has a happy ending and there's a cookie cutter and here's a solution and it's like math. And I find that life isn't like that. It's not, there's no clear cut, obvious stuff. And so like these two people are, you know, I'm talking about Stephen Goodman. He finds this lady, they in love, they get married, they seem happy. And then she gets cancer. Like it's just, I know it's heavy, but I feel like sometimes that's how life is. It's complicated, and I liked the unflinching look at what life has. You, no matter what you have going on, whether you have autism or you don't. And then the other kid, you know, we haven't really covered yet, but Lenny.
He's like 19 or 20. He might be 22.
I think he's older because he says, remember, my friends all graduated from college. I really wanted to go to college, and I would have graduated by now. So I don't know, early 20s, I'd guess.
He's a lonely character.
He's very lonely.
At one point, he pays a prostitute.
Or somebody, yeah.
$20 so he can touch her butt.
Yeah.
Just to feel like what a woman feels like. It's pretty sweet. It's like touching, not sweet, like awesome, but like it's, but he's a lonely guy. My brother.
But then he's conflicted about how that makes him feel. And that's not, it's like, and then it ends. It's not really what he wants.
He knows that he's bright enough to know that he has a disability. And
he doesn't want to be autistic.
And he knows that he doesn't want to be, and he knows that it makes him different. And he just sort of is.
I think he's the least autistic character, though, out of the five. I mean, compared to Saul Goodman. Saul Goodman. Sorry.
No, I think compared to Stephanie. I think the couple, the couple that
the scientist
is less. They're the least autistic in terms of. being functional and bright and able to get a really good job and everything like that.
I think he has other issues besides autism.
He has other issues.
Lenny, I mean, because he only wants to date a woman who makes less money than him, but he doesn't work. So that eliminates basically everybody.
Well, here are my initial impressions. I, as somebody who lives with autism, did not like the movie.
Autism in your family, you mean?
Yeah, autism in my family. I did not like the film for one specific reason. Is this film is the reason why we made this podcast. Because everything out there is so depressing.
Sad.
It even when they were showing happy moments in the film, they were playing sad music underneath.
Right.
It was like, my girlfriend was, it's this one couple got married after 8 years. Yeah. They're both have jobs. Like, that's happy.
Yeah.
Look, I understand that they're like, the point of this film is to show that, you know, there is romance and everything like that. And I understand that you can't like, you'd be crazy to just be like all happiness and gumdrops and rainbows and everything like that. But I mean, like, the guy is trying to make an unflinching look. He's not, he doesn't have autism in his life, and so this is all new to him.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it's not for us, this film. Right. It's for other people, is my point.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
If you just found out that your three-year-old has autism and you watch this movie, you're going to shoot your face.
So don't watch it. Two thumbs down is what we're saying.
It's just another depressing thing about...
Okay, I saw...
And it doesn't have to be depressing. I was watching with my girlfriend, and you know when you watch with, like, you can watch a film alone, and it's sort of, you watch through your own lens, but sometimes when you watch with somebody else, and my girlfriend's the best, and she's so supportive and loves Peter and listens to the podcast and cares and sends me articles about autism and everything like that, and it was just like, we're both watching it, and she's just like, this is depressing. You know, it's just really, it was a depressing film.
Okay, but hold on.
Film.
Let me give the rebuttal. What I liked about... Okay, spoiler alert. Fast forward 20 seconds if you don't want to hear what happens.
And why are you finding people that have like like, look at the... Go ahead, go.
Okay, so what I was going to say was Gita dies.
Yes.
But I feel like... I don't have a problem with that because I feel like life's complicated. So they had 14...
Life is complicated, but it's already complicated enough. And you know what? You can't find a couple that has...
Where she doesn't die.
Where she doesn't die. Like, people need to know that it's going to be okay.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me finish. So what I'm saying is, I still think it was okay. He had 14, 15 years with her. Everybody dies, bro.
Yeah.
That's the...
They had 20 years.
That's the surprise. Yeah. She died about 20 years early. But they had 15 years together, and they seemed happy.
Yeah.
And it's like, how old do you think she was? 50?
Yeah.
She wasn't 30, so she should have lived to be 70. I agree, but that part's a little bit sad. But I'm saying stuff happens, and they found each other, and they enjoyed each other's company, and they had 20 years. I mean, you don't think Lenny, the guy who's alone, wants that? If he's like, listen, you're going to find a woman who you connect with, and she's yours, and you get married, and you're hers, and then she dies in 20 years, it's still better than being alone.
But yeah, I get it. But the reason why those subjects were chosen is because it makes for a good, interesting documentary.
Yeah.
Not because that's the reality of the world out there. Okay? This is a documentary. This is a film that is meant to be interesting and not an actual boring report of how real life is. If you want to figure out what it's like, what your children's life is going to be like in the future, and then watch this movie, you are not going to have an accurate, necessarily, idea because they're... Or a positive idea. You got to stay positive.
I agree with
that. You got to stay positive. Like, why not find the version of Gita and Goodman
where
she doesn't die? Because there's plenty of those out there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's a good point. You swayed me. Maybe I don't recommend it then.
It's an interesting film. It deals with a topic that needs to be talked about more. I'm not saying it's a well-made film.
It's definitely well-made.
The guy knows.
You don't
what he's
like
doing.
The story. You don't like. The message.
It was depressing for the sake of being interesting, not for the sake of doing accurate reporting. And But there are a couple things that there are a lot of interesting things in it, that are interesting and we can talk about for sure.
Like, I thought Lenny was, go ahead, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say, I thought Lenny, who's the young man who's alone, mm-hmm. his whole push is he wants to be regular. He says, if God says I'll give you $1 million to be autistic or you'd be regular, I'd be normal, he calls it. I want to be normal. And so his whole push, but I think it's funny that he doesn't realize how normal he is. Like, he basically wants to be with a woman and like wants basically very normal things that you're right there, bro. You're right on the cusp of just he needs to, I felt like, needs to accept himself. And at the end he gets a job and finds some fulfillment in that. It's right. Like, I can't talk. I got to go work. And like,
I love that.
Yeah.
That reminded me of my brother. He's like, I can't talk. He's like right on time. He likes to be early.
I like to be a little early. He says, I love that.
Good
part
for too. That. Good for him. It gives him a sense of purpose. What I thought a lot about, is the parallels between, the Goodman character, the guy who gets married to to Gita, who eventually dies.
Yep. Steven.
Steven. And then Lenny. So these are two people who Steven is less functioning.
Right.
But has a better life, a more full life, has a job, had a wife, you know?
Right.
And then
yes.
Lenny comes from a single mom. From what I could tell, she looked like she had a kid very young. She had a bunch of tattoos. She looked like she wasn't the richest person. She lived alone in an apartment building, like maybe a one or two bedroom apartment building with her disabled, mentally developmentally delayed son. And then Steven Goodman comes from a maybe a little more well-to-do family, a sense of community. The reason how they found Gita is because they found somebody within the Jewish community that they thought was like, they'd be a good pairing. Yeah. And you know what they were? It was like,
I really liked that part. Really liked.
I loved it.
Yeah. When the mom's like, I think she'd be a good match.
It was beautiful. It was really, really nice.
Maybe think of Fiddle on the Roof with a matchmaker.
Yeah. She has like a thick, I mean, they're Eastern European Jewish, people. But they live in America. Beautiful. But anyway, the sense of a community and help means the world to these people and can change their lives and pushing them. And
yeah, he lives alone with his wife and stuff. It was great.
His own place. He was independent, lived alone with his wife.
Ride the bus or something.
How great is that?
Yeah.
You know, and had a job at the post office. They found him a job. A
couple jobs.
And I'm not knocking this single mom. She's doing her best.
Yeah, but she doesn't have
the support.
Yeah, she needs more help.
She doesn't have the support. She was a loving, lovely person and loved her son, and they were like best friends. You could tell.
Well, and she says it when she goes, he needs to learn to accept himself. Like, because he doesn't want to date. He says a bunch of things about how, I don't want to date someone who makes more money than me.
Yeah.
I don't want to date. He breaks himself down so much. He's like always negative about himself. Mm-hmm. And I felt like at some point you have to be like, this is who I am. This, and then get on with it. And I feel towards the end, he does make those little steps. He finds a job. And he finds some fulfillment and some meaning in that job. And he says some funny stuff. He had the best lines. And like one of them was, talks about how lonely he is and goes, if you told me you're going to send you to all women's prison for a week, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. I'm like, bro, that's everybody. Like every man's that's every man is like, you want to be surrounded by 500 women and you're the only man? Yeah. Get in line.
My girlfriend was like, well, that's extreme. I'm like, ooh.
It's not that extreme.
That was my 14-year-old
exactly.
fantasy.
That's every young man who's lonely is like, listen, it's a numbers game. If there's 400 women, one of these girls is going to like me.
Yeah. Please notice me. But yeah, it was a perfect example of how support means everything.
The different outcomes they had based on the support they
couldn't
got.
Couldn't help but wonder if this guy had grown up in Sweden, how much better his life would be.
Than LA, yeah.
He lives in LA in real life. So it's just too bad.
The last one we haven't really covered as much, but David, you know, he's been dating this girl.
That's the actual happy story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's dating Lindsay, and they've been dating 8 years before he proposes, but I always felt like, listen, this is the modern age. That's not that uncommon.
Yeah.
A lot of people date a long time now. You know, he talks about basically being hesitant to, it's a big step. And like, I'm like, oh, a lot of guys feel like that. That's not, you're not, that has nothing to do with autism. That's part of being a man. Mm-hmm. Where you're a little hesitant and he's not sure. And I thought that was a really sweet couple too. He calls love, like he compares it to wave. What is it? Energy waves or something? He like does some.
It's unquantifiable energy.
Yes. It's a force of nature. And he says something that makes me laugh so much. Like,
but he was right though.
Yeah.
I like those two.
Yeah.
That was nice. But she said something really interesting. She feels self-conscious the moment she leaves the house. The moment she leaves the house, the moment she comes back, she feels self-conscious. Yeah. And it's because she is also higher functioning. Mm-hmm. If you would take, it would take a few minutes before you realized something might be a little different with her. She's not, it's, whereas it's a lot of the other characters, yeah, it's immediately noticeable.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, David has some very distinct tics that he does. Like he tilts his head and blinks his eyes and
David looks like a character from Revenge of the Nerds. I've always said the movie Revenge of the Nerds cannot be made today because it'd be making fun of autistic people.
Oh, yeah. There's no way you can make it.
No, it's just, if you look back at Revenge of the Nerds, it's just a bunch of bullies pushing around autistic people.
Yeah, it's kind of mean.
It's terrible. Yeah. Anyway, so that is a really nice storyline. It's got a happy ending. But the movie's depressing, and I don't even know if you don't have autism in your life, you don't have a personal interest in autism. If you would ever watch, you don't think you could get through it. You'd be like, I'm so depressed.
Well, I think I disagree. I've swinged back the other way. I don't think it's as, I understand why you see it depressing, but I think, I don't know how to say this succinctly, but like coming from my point of view with my son, all those outcomes are better than where my son's at. So right. I don't think it's a, because I think that's part of our experience with autism in our life is different. Like your son, your brother's higher functioning. For me, if my son even goes like Lenny and gets a job at the grocery store, step up. If he goes like, if he's like David and gets a job as a scientist, great. He finds the girl's cute. Lindsay, he finds a girl that loves him and wants to marry him. Perfect.
Yeah.
And what's the other guy's name? Steven. If he finds a woman and they're married for 15 years and they love each other and they're together 20, I think.
20 years, yeah.
And she passes from cancer. Listen, some people don't find love at all, dude. Mm-hmm. So if he has 20 years of love and somebody he loves, maybe he doesn't.
She was so, that made me, I want to show that to my parents actually. Because he is less, well, he's actually pretty similar to Peter, I would say. He's the most similar character to my brother.
Steven Goodman?
Yeah. And she was higher functioning.
Yeah, I don't know if she was autistic. She had some sort of learning disability, she said.
But they loved each other.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So I think that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they only had 20 years. I mean, people die when they're 10. So I think you and I disagree. We have one thumbs up.
We both got stuff out of this film.
Yeah. But I see your point.
I'm glad I watched it. But unnecessarily depressing.
I understand. I'm just Why are you sad?
It was annoying to me that he's playing sad music over happy times.
Yeah, I get that.
What is this? Can't we have something, you know, that's positive?
It was funny when Lenny tells the cameraman, he's like, you can't cry. I don't see you cry. I can cry. You can't cry. This is my life.
That's what he said? Yeah. I forgot about it. That's so funny.
I love that part.
That guy was dealing. Yeah. Straight shooter, that Lenny.
No, he was funny.
Yeah.
But but
he was a likable character too.
Yeah. I don't want to say like, you know, I don't like your instinct is to quote unquote fix people. I'm not saying that, but I feel like he needed a big brother or a dad.
Or his mom, like, his mom said the same thing.
His mom's doing the best he can, but I think you need sometimes a male.
His mom said that. Yeah. He needs a strong male influence.
To come in your life and go, listen, dude, that's nothing to do with autistic. That's part of being a human being. You want to touch a woman's butt? Everybody does. That's part of it, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Women's butts are awesome.
Yeah.
But you got to...
That's normal.
You got
to... Now you need to get a job and then talk to her and ask and do all these things. And that isn't... Yeah, you don't have to push that down. You just need to get a girlfriend or a wife or... Yeah, so let's take steps. You get, anyway.
Steven's touching butts.
That's
20 years he was touching butts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was... I felt like...
A butt.
He was... I felt like he... I don't know. I understand what you're saying is sad. It was sad. But I think it was bittersweet. I think he had some happy times too. Mm-hmm. So that's our review.
Yeah,
I'm glad we did this.
I'm glad we did this too. I think I don't know. Let us know what you think about it. Write us.
Don't watch it when you're sad. I will tell you that. If you're already having a bad day,
yeah,
don't watch it.
Yeah.
Wait till you're really happy and let it bring you down. And to be perfectly honest, it did take me 3 times to watch it.
Why? Because you were crying a bunch?
It's not crying, but close.
Yeah.
Friggin' sad. So then you got to stop it and regroup.
Yeah, I think my mom would cry. She couldn't get through it.
Well, the friggin' lady dies. Dad,
yeah. Yeah. That's too much. Why?
But I feel like that's life. I don't know.
Anyway.
But you have to be in the mood because it was like, it's heavy.
Anyway.
Guys, reach out to us. It's autasticpodcast@gmail.com. Facebook is Kirk Smith Comedy. And yours is?
Graham K.
Comedy. I'm just teasing. Graham K. Twitter.
At Graham K. Comedy. Twitter, at Kirk Smith Comedy. Everybody.
Thanks for your ratings and reviews.
Yes.
On iTunes.
Absolutely. And keep telling people. If you're new to the podcast and you think somebody else could benefit from just this sort of group discussion that we've created and talking about it, send it along. Also, please feel free to donate at patreon.com/autastic. Patreon, patreon.com/autastic. For less than a cup of coffee a week, you can help us keep doing this podcast. We really do appreciate it.
And there's some great prizes there if you donate.
Mm-hmm.
And we should add, too, if you donate, I will, when you come out to Los Angeles, take you to play pickup basketball, and I will yell at you for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't cut to the basket when you're supposed to, I will let you know.
You don't have to do that one if you don't want to.
Yeah, that's optional.
Yeah. You guys are the best. We really appreciate it very much, guys. Take care.